Hello and welcome to the Creative Culture podcast interview series. Today we're discussing the importance of corporate social responsibility and the positive impact companies can have on safety and the environment. And I'm delighted to have Antoine Hauville, Chief Operating Officer at Urlab in France, to tell us more about it. Urlab is a family-run business specializing in air filtration, particularly focused on the protection of lab personnel when handling chemicals, and their products also contribute to a more sustainable practice as they do not eject harmful substances into the environment. And so, welcome Antoine, and perhaps you could tell us a little bit more about yourself, your career and involvement at the company.
Great, thank you Paul for having me today and doing this podcast. So who am I and what is Urlab Company? Well, my name is Antoine Hauville, as you mentioned, and I'm CEO of the company and also part owner of the company as well. The company was established by my father and mother in 1968, and we were the first company to have ever invented the concept of the ductless filtration laboratory fume hoods for the protection of laboratory personnel. And the idea behind the original product was that my father, actually before 1968, was working into the lab environment and was in charge of a company called Tech Lab, which was the French leader in laboratory furniture and equipment. And he also invented the modular lab furniture, because before that, in the 50s and 60s, lab furniture was fixed to the floor. And he said he thought that there would be a better way to actually service or to give the necessary technology to transform the unmodular furniture into a modular furniture that can be moved, that allows the lab technicians to redesign at will the lab. So he said to himself, well, there's one thing that still remains to be flexible, and that's the traditional ducted and polluting laboratory fume hood. And he said to himself, something could be done, and I'm going to do it. So what he did is he resigned from his position as the CEO of the company. He was not the owner of Tech Lab, and he resigned and started in 1968 Urlab. And Urlab, ever since that time, is devoted to the research and development of molecular filtration in conjunction with laboratory fume hoods. And so there was a niche market at the time, and he said that better with this new technology which allows laboratory fume hoods to be totally free from any walls, from any central ventilation system, should bring about better solutions for the lab environment. So at first it was not designed to be ecological, so to speak. It was designed to give designing freedom in designing the labs of tomorrow. And so that was the first mission, was to give flexibility to laboratory design.
Okay, that's great. And what would you say the key things that make Urlab at its price unique?
Yes, actually, at its price, as you mentioned, Urlab is certainly not the cheapest, of course, in its profession. We have created the business. We have created the market. The market did not exist prior to Urlab. So Urlab created its own market, and as I mentioned before, everything is resting on our ability to innovate through research and development. So to get back to price, we don't want to be the most expensive company. Of course, that's not the goal. What the goal is to provide a long-term solution which will satisfy our customers each time they purchase our product and services. And in that respect, excellence requires that you have the talents necessary to actually push forward a product that is of quality and services that are of quality, which give the guarantee that the customers will be working in total safety in the lab. So in that respect, we are, prior to the sale of any of our filtration devices, we certify in writing, and after a feasibility and safety study, that the products will be performing as advertised during the time that we have that we have deemed necessary the filter to last. So we know exactly beforehand how long the filters are going to last for every single application into the lab. So to make a long story short, that is why our products are not the cheapest, but they are the ones that are, will provide you safety guaranteed in time.
Okay. So, well, that, I mean, that sounds that that's quite an attractive proposition for many businesses. And I guess that means you've got quite a global footprint. I mean, how many countries or markets do you operate in?
45 countries that we are operating in through dealers and also, and we are directly linked to five countries. We have three factories in the world because during all these years, we are catering to very large corporations such as L'Oreal, such as Pfizer, Glaxo, of course, from the UK. But also Exxon and you know all the companies that are that have a QC lab, quality control lab, or research and development lab will most likely be using our product. So we have to be able to follow through our customer wherever they are, and so it very quickly we kind of followed naturally the trail of our customers to where they are into the most shall we say. Vibrant economies of the world. So we have three factories, one originally from France, of course, that's where it all started, in Normandy, about west of Paris, 120 kilometers west of Paris. And that's the headquarters of the company. And then we have the North American headquarters, which were founded in 1981, and that are located north of Boston in New England. Massachusetts, state of Massachusetts. And then we have a third factory, which is based in China, Shanghai, and south of Shanghai. And then we have representative offices, as a matter of fact, throughout China. We have five representative offices. And then we have one location in Malaysia, in Kuala Lumpur, and another one in Barcelona, in Spain. And so that's the extent, plus 45 countries where we have a network of more than 600 distributors that are working for us.
Right. So that's a real global footprint. And how do you think that sort of exposure and operating in those different markets and different cultures, how does that have an impact on the values of and the nature of your company? And also, is its family owned and run image? And how important is that?
Family own does not mean to be does not mean restrictions by no means, and as a matter of fact, the fact that it is family owned gives us the flexibility, the vision, and the capabilities of choosing wherever we go, and wherever we go has allowed us throughout the world and our positions and throughout the world to actually know our customers better. Chemistry, the protection of people into the lab is not just a French affair or European affair. It is global. And the way that research is being conducted is surely global. And what's interesting is all these cultures that we have touched throughout the years, which are part of our company, because we speak about 10 languages at our lab. Including Mandarin Chinese, Arabic, and English, of course, German, Italian, Spanish, and so on. But the thing is that our product is very basically a product of the world. And the great thing about this is that great minds from all the cultures that we have touched have contributed to the richness of our proposition. So I would say that throughout the years, and ever since the beginning, Erlab has always been international in by culture, and this culture is very rich and has allowed us to get the best ideas for our products and services.
Of course, yeah. And also, the sort of inevitable question for you is the effect that the COVID-19 crisis has had, obviously, throughout the world. It's obviously had an effect on your business. So I'm quite interested in whether you've noticed a change of an approach or prioritization from customers or stakeholders on environmental concerns as a result of this, or whether it's had an effect on yourselves.
Extreme responsibilities. If you take seriously your business, which is of course the business of laboratory personnel protection, you are responsible for people's health, and especially with a product that has promised to be not only flexible but also a product that has promised to protect people wherever they are, and this protection is a burden, of course, a burden and a responsibility. Every time we sell a product, we stand by it, and we stand by the protection that we are going to provide to all laboratory personnel, wherever they are, and to the 45 countries that I just mentioned. And this is acting like, it forces us to act like an insurance company. As a matter of fact, we are audited on a regular basis by insurance companies who insure us throughout the world. And so, of course, like a doctor who prescribes drugs before a patient, there will be, of course, an analysis being made of each of the patients. In our case, they're not patients, they're customers. But we are responsible for that. And having created this market, we're triple responsible, because we are also responsible for pushing forward international standards. And we have created a new standard, safety standards with regards to our products, not only in France, but also contributed to pushing forward things in the rest of the world, in the United States. We are part of the standard committees in China, in Europe, as I mentioned, the United States, in the major countries, in Japan. And we are pushing every day forward things that are not sellable, such as knowledge, such as interaction between scientists, to push forward the idea of transforming the market from a ducted world that takes the pollution from the enclosure to the outside into a world where you have of sustainable growth using sustainable technologies such as the filtration fume hood. So it's a great responsibility.
Gosh, that's really interesting. And I'm sure there's quite a lot of application for that now and into the future. I just wanted to move on to a slightly different area, and one of, in terms of you mentioned, of course, all the different marketplaces you're involved in, and whether you've experienced some cross-cultural challenges over the existence of the company, or perhaps more recently. And maybe you could share a couple of examples from a commercial, but also a communication standpoint.
Excellent question, Paul. Yes, and yes again. This has been an incredible first semester where we have, as I mentioned, I'm working with my brother. My brother and I, we are running the company. My brother is a CEO, I'm COO, and we were just discussing that just 3 days ago. And it's amazing how COVID-19 has changed people's outlook on the quality of the air. And as a matter of fact, since people are putting masks, people are realizing how precious the air is. And we could not have been doing a better job in terms of advertising with regards to the quality of air that COVID-19 has generated for us. And as a matter of fact, a lot of people are realizing that in the lab, taking a problem to put it into a duct and dilute it into the outside, people are starting to scratch their heads and saying, is this a responsible way of conducting research and development or quality control, since we have so much problem breathing the air that we breathe? And so there is, of course, a new outlook on the people with regards to their awareness of air quality. And so filtration, and Erlamp has always been an advocate of filtration and capture at the source of all forms of pollutions into the lab, has taken a great foothold. And we have more and more demands with regards to our products. And when we have created a new line of products, which is designed for the lab and outside the lab. And these are fully autonomous air filtration units, which are not designed to filter the air where people perform chemical manipulations. It's like an air conditioner that you would find, for example, at the on the ceiling level. Maybe you've noticed into offices or large areas a square that's taking a tile on the ceiling. If you notice, and that square is responsible for air conditioning and cooling or heating the air. We have done the same thing with a new product called the Halo, H-A-L-O, like the halo of light. And the halo, since it's above our heads, it's the halo, it's supposed to be a protector. And that is a molecular and particulate filtration unit, which filter both gases and dust, which are dust is the main vector of an aerosolized droplets of water that are generated when we speak, and that could be filled with COVID-19 with the COVID-19 virus. And so we have a new system which captures at the source every 30 square meters of space. You have a unit that works 24/7. And designed to clean the air within not only a lab, but also an office, school, and so on and so forth, public places. And the idea is to bypass the central HVAC system, the central ventilation system, which has been throughout the months seen as the culprit in bringing about the spread of COVID-19 from one room to the other. So with our system, we bypass entirely the ventilation system and allow for purification of the air right at the spot. And so that's interesting because it's not on the floor. There are a lot of units that are floor mounted. But the problem with floor mounted units is that they work best at the center of the room. Whereas and usually since they are a bother, people move them around to a corner of the room, which is a problem. And with our system being above the head, it's no longer a problem. You can place units right at the center of any room, and without having also the danger of someone unplugging by mistake the product if it was on the floor. So we are about with this new product to embark into a new venture of air filtration for the public at large, and that's very exciting. There's no question that it's not a one product fits all. Sometimes there's no question the culture has a lot to do with it. For example, in Europe, we are used to the leaner it is, the better it is. I mean, less is more in Europe. Whereas in America, more is better. And so the thing is that the way that we are designing our products were different, even though, of course, the technology at the heart is the same. But the perception of the product in the United States is not the same as the perception of that same product. And a lot of people think of America as a country where people are ready to embrace new technologies at will and freely. Not at all. Not into the lab environment. The lab environment is a conservative environment, very linked to the, unfortunately, the status quo. And in America, they only believe in large amounts of air, ducted fume hoods that release enormous amounts of heated and air and cooled air into the atmosphere, and alongside with the pollution that is generated. And they pride themselves on having buildings that are enormous with enormous amounts of ductwork and heating and generation and cooling generation that are out of this world. Sometimes they pride themselves on having helicopters that haul all sections of ventilation systems backed on the roof, because a crane is not supposed, it cannot intervene there. And we Europeans are going scratching our heads and say, well, this is definitely not the same world, where in Europe we just tend to think twice, thrice, maybe four times before we act, where the Americans go, we go forward, we don't think, we move forward, and we don't think about the consequences. So that's the thing that these are the subtleties in the markets between America and Europe, also subtleties in Asia, although Asia is also even more so, less is more, except China. China has taken an approach at first of that is akin to America. But the government is very quickly backpedaling, so to speak, and starting to realize that they have to be choosing solutions that are more sustainable. Still a challenge in the United States, despite what has happened. So yes, we have to be able to have a marketing that is linked, that is geared for a specific market. You cannot express yourself in the same way that you are doing it in your country of origin. You have to analyze, you have to speak with your customers, you have to understand what their backgrounds are and how they react. It doesn't mean that you are going to bow to their standardized way of thinking, but you have to be more subtle about it.
Okay. And I guess allied to that, therefore those differences in culture approach, both, you know, industrial and economic and philosophical, that create challenges in communicating when you actually get onto the ground in different languages, markets and cultures. How do you have any particular way you approach that?
With the languages, yes. Yes. Even in the UK, you don't do, for example, in languages, you don't say fume hood, you say fume cupboard. So it's, even the word is a little different. France is Sorbonne, Sorbonne de la Brotte, from the word sort bien in French, which is gets out well. You have to be careful. And for example, in Switzerland, it's La Chapelle. It's totally different. A chapel. I mean, you know, who would think that the Swiss are calling their fumes a chapel? But yes, so each country, each culture has a different ways of looking at things and different expressions for naming the same product. And so we have to be careful in the way that we conduct marketing and communication by being part of that ecosystem of culture. And there's no question that, for example, in America, it was, of course, the subtlety there is what we're trying to achieve in order to better penetrate the market.
Thank you very much for your time today, Antoine. That's been really interesting. And for everybody else, thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and you can find more podcast episodes by visiting our SoundCloud or website, creativecultureint.com/resources. Let's make global happening.